Summer is almost here. School is winding down, the weather's getting warmer, and for many young athletes, that means travel ball, tournaments, camps, and a lot more freedom. But it also means something else. Nobody is looking over your shoulder every day. And sooner or later, every athlete faces the same question. What do you do when you know you should train, but you just don't feel like it? Today, we're talking about motivation, where it comes from, why it changes over time, and how most successful athletes learn to keep showing up even when motivation isn't at its highest. Welcome to Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive in. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about motivation a little bit. And I know I wanted to speak to this because I know just for me, at least as a young athlete, especially once I got to the high school age and upper middle school and was staying home alone during the summer while my parents were working, had the freedom to choose what I was going to do with myself day in and day out. And I was a pretty competitive softball player, right? I knew that I wanted to play in college, but I was also young and I wanted to have fun with my friends. And depending on what age I was, where I was driving or not, I really did have the choice every day of what I decided to do with my day when I wasn't working or doing those things. And so looking back on it, what I realized is that if I didn't have something to really target my energy towards as far as knowing what to do with my sport, I knew I needed to work out and stay conditioned. I knew I needed to work on my game. And really coming out of, because I played a spring sport, softball, at the end of the season for school, I pretty much was playing softball every day for my high school team. And then once the season ends and then you've got maybe a couple weeks left of school and then you're back into club sports, that daily structure of having somewhere to go every day to practice my sport was missing. And always that first part of summer was always a bit of a, okay, how do I find a rhythm that works for me that allows me to, one, just relax and have and cool down from school, to relax, to enable me to have some fun with friends, go to the lake, go to the pool, do kid stuff, but also make sure I was getting work done for my sport. And so the reason we're talking about this today is because I imagine many young athletes are also facing this. And this day and age, it's probably even harder to stay motivated to do work, because you have way more distractions available to you in the palm of your hand in the form of a phone. And so we want to talk a little bit about motivation today. What are some quick hacks to make sure that you are setting conditions for yourself to stay locked in to working towards your sport? Okay. Now, whether for you, depending on how serious you are of an athlete, I'm mostly talking to probably the travel ball kids at this point, people who will be playing pretty competitively over the summer. How do you put in the work that you need to put in and still relax and have a good time? Okay. So when it comes to motivation, there's a theory called the self-determination theory. And what it is, it's the logic and the reasons behind why we do what we do. How do you determine yourself to do things? Okay. Now, the way that motivation is, it's on a spectrum. The first thing that motivates us is when the task itself is inherently fun. So if you think about the things that you just love doing, mom or dad doesn't have to poke and prod you to do it, whether it's swimming, having good fun with friends, whether it is related to your sport, playing games, that type of thing, that's ideal, right? That's the ideal state of motivation, where the task itself is inherently fun and enjoyable. Unfortunately, for a lot of the work that we need to put in for getting better at our sport, that isn't always inherently fun. Some of it is, but not all. And so what we're thinking about is how do we get the motivation to do the work part that isn't already inherently fun? And so if that's the case, what we need to pull on are there four other sources of motivation to tap into, to utilize, to help you actually do the work that you need to do, okay? And again, most athletes think motivation is either I have it or I don't, and that actually operates on a continuum. And some sources of motivation are stronger and some more sustainable than others. But I want to introduce you to all four, because at some point in the summer, you're probably going to need to tap into all four of these, and having quick ideas of how to do that is going to be helpful for you. All right. So one of the first more external versions, they call it instrumental, ways of creating motivation for yourself to get work done. So let's say, for sake of argument, for your sport, let's just say you have to do a conditioning workout. You got to keep yourself fit and well conditioned. So maybe strength training and some conditioning workouts. And it's summertime and you'd rather go hang out with your friends or whatever. Okay. So what you could do is rely on a reward or a punishment to help motivate you to do that work, that conditioning workout. Okay. And so that might sound like a punishment is obviously something that you will be taken away from you if you don't, or it's a extra work that you might have to do. Okay. So that might be something like, I have to do extra running at practice when coach tells me I don't get to have screen time or something like that. It could also be a reward, and that's something you will gain by doing the behavior of going, doing your conditioning workout. It could be something as simple as I get ice cream, right? Or I get to have screen time, whatever, but some sort of reward for doing the behavior. Now, these can be externally created, either by parents, coaches, or they can be developed by you as the athlete as short little tidbits to help you get over the hump when you're just not feeling like doing the work, even though you know you need to, okay? And so thinking about this as maybe you can create a reward system for yourself and gamify your motivation over the summer. So let's say, for sake of argument, since it's going to be June here pretty quick, you want to make sure part of your training is to maybe do 3 to 4 conditioning workouts every week. Okay. And just for sake of argument, you're going to plan to do them Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, whatever. We'll keep it that way. Okay. You're 4 days a week, you got to do them. And so maybe you create a reward that if at the end of the week I have done all 4 workouts, I get some sort of reward like pizza for dinner, or I get to watch an extra movie or something along those lines. Okay. Maybe there's a punishment of if you don't do all 4 of your workouts, you have to put money in a jar, your hard-earned money from your maybe summer job. I don't know. It's taken out of your fund or whatever. You have to give money to your parents or something like that. Or you don't get screen time, something along those lines. Okay. So what this could look like is setting up a system of rewards and punishment for yourself to remind you to keep doing that behavior. Some days you might not need to tap into that. You're motivated to do it. Fantastic. But there will be days where you don't feel like doing it. And so the goal is creating something rewarding and or punishing enough for you that reminds you, okay, let's actually go do that behavior. All right. And that you would just keep track with some sort of habit tracker, whether it's a sticker chart, an app that you have, something along those lines. Okay. So rewards and punishment, it's a quick way to get yourself over the hump of doing the behavior. Now, the problem with rewards and punishment is they're pretty short term. That doesn't really motivate you in the long run, because at some point you're just going to be like, eh, you know what? I don't really care. And the reward isn't big enough or the punishment isn't severe enough. I'd rather just sit here and watch TV, or I'd rather just go hang out in the pool and not do the work, whatever. So as soon as that reward or punishment goes away, often the desired behavior goes away. And so, again, it's a good quick fix, but it's not necessarily a good long-term strategy for the whole summer, depending on how you organize it, okay? Now, another thing that really drives us and motivates us is shame, guilt, or pride, emotions. And what I mean by this here is, especially shame and guilt, is humans, we do not like to feel ashamed or feel guilty. We don't want to let people down. We don't want to feel bad about ourselves. Those aren't pleasant emotions. We don't like them. So because of that, we will do behavior in order to avoid feeling ashamed or feeling guilty. For instance, I don't want to let my teammates down because I'm not conditioned. I haven't been working out all summer. Let's say football season at the end of the summer, and I can barely do wind sprints, right? I'm going to let my team down, type of thing. I would feel ashamed or I would feel guilty for letting people down. Therefore, I'm going to do my workouts during the summer. Okay. So that's what we mean by shame and guilt, is you're trying to avoid feeling those emotions. Now, pride is the opposite. It is a positive emotion. It's something that we're striving for. And so sometimes the motivation to do a behavior is I'm going to feel proud of myself for putting in the work, or I will feel accomplished if I actually set forth and do all these workouts that I said I was going to do. Okay. So you're seeking out the emotion, and that's why you're doing the behavior. Okay. Or you're avoiding a particular emotion, shame and guilt, in order to do behavior. Again, this might sound like I don't want to let people down. I don't want to feel lazy. I want to feel proud of myself. So any version of that can be effective. But again, it does have its limits, because athletes who just rely on guilt alone often tend to burn out or start to feel overly critical. And it can, if that is your only way that you motivate yourself, you start to lose enjoyment of the task itself. Okay. So again, you can tap into this source, but the idea here is it should be a quick fix, not something you tap into all the time, as your only source. Use it if you need it, but don't make it that your only strategy. The third and fourth strategies that we're going to be talking about start to move more internal. And internal meaning they're driven from within you. It's based on a set of values, identity. They're more autonomous in the sense that you are choosing them. Okay. So the third one is valuing the outcome. So what this means is you might not enjoy the conditioning workout. You might not enjoy going to the weight room, but you enjoy the outcomes that gives you. You value the outcomes of engaging in that behavior. So those might be short-term, long-term outcomes, but it might be something like, hey, I appreciate being stronger and faster. That's going to really help me in my athletic career. So while I don't enjoy going to the gym, I like what it gives me. It could be, I just feel better, right? I don't feel as sluggish and lethargic after I do those workouts. And so the outcome that I really appreciate is being energized, okay? But it also might be more outcome-driven based on, again, long-term. If I do these conditioning workouts, I'm going to be better prepared for the season, or I might be able to make varsity, or I'm going to be better able to handle the long travel season of the summer. Something along those lines, right? So again, the behavior is connected to something that you really do want. That thing that you want is exciting to you. It creates motivation. It's something that drives your behavior, okay? So while the workout itself, again, isn't exciting, you understand that workout helps me get something that I want or helps me feel a certain way. Therefore, I'm still willing to do it. Okay. And so your summer training becomes easier because you're tapping into the purpose behind the behavior. What's the long-term impact of doing that workout versus what's the short-term cost of, like, I have to wake up early, or I have to get off this comfortable couch and stop watching TV or something along those lines. Okay. The fourth source of motivation is ideally the gold standard in what we call identity, okay? And everybody has different identities. Your I am statements. I am an athlete. I am a parent. I'm a softball player. I am a hard worker, whatever. There's all kinds of identities that we have for ourselves. When what helps us stay motivated to do behaviors that on the surface don't feel all that exciting, that aren't inherently fun, is when you believe that behavior to just be part of who you are, part of an identity that matters to you. So if you go with, I am an athlete, or I'm an aspiring college athlete, it's much easier to put in those conditioning workouts because I'm an aspiring college athlete. College athletes do this. Therefore, I do this too. You don't have to you don't talk yourself into doing it. It's just part of who you are. And so that might sound like I'm the kind of athlete who prepares, or I'm the kind of teammate who shows up, or I'm someone who takes care of my body. Okay, is you're wrapping this behavior around an identity that you have about yourself that enables you to just do that work because it's part of who you are. Okay. So again, the workout is not just something that you do, it's part of who you are. And so how that might show up in like a choice point. So again, you're an athlete, it's summer. You're home alone. You're deciding, do I just chill out and hang out and do nothing? Or do I go do that workout that I needed to do? Okay. Athlete A might be, do I really feel like doing this? And talking themselves out of it. Whereas athlete B, who has the identity of, I am the kind of athlete who prepares. What do athletes like me do? They go prepare. Okay, I'm going to go do that workout. All right. And so you're tapping into this who you think you are at a core level to help you do the behaviors that you need to do. Now, I will say motivation isn't always necessary. Sometimes it's that discipline and that routine that can also be very helpful because there are days where you just can't generate the motivation because for whatever reason. Now, all four of these strategies are going to be something you can tap into to try to use. If you want for additional strategies, at the beginning of the year, I had four separate episodes on habit formation. That would also be a great lessons to tap into. I'll link them in the show notes below. But again, having ways to tap into the why behind your doing something. And again, whether it's rewards or punishment, avoiding shame and guilt, or tapping into your pride, valuing the outcome of the behavior, or leaning into who you are as a person, really just helps you build a more balanced approach to getting yourself to do the things that you need to do. I want you to remember too here that, especially over the summer, it's about balance. You should not be working out every moment of every day. Okay, one, that's not sustainable. Two, you're going to burn out. Three, that's probably not even good for your body, all right? And so it is important over the summer to make sure that you do prioritize rest and recovery. It matters. It matters for your body. It matters for your mental health. It matters for just being a kid and having time to be a kid and go do kid thing, okay? Hang out with your friends and do all that. Because the best athletes don't just work hard. They know how to bring balance to their lives and make sure that they have friendships and other meaningful pursuits. The goal of the summer is not to just be a workhorse and do nothing but train for your sport. That's not sustainable. It's not realistic. So something else I would recommend is that in addition to whatever workouts or practical stuff that you have to do to get better at your sport, make a plan for recovery and rejuvenation. And how will you motivate yourself to do those things too? Many of those things you might find intrinsically motivating. I know for me, as a summer, I grew up in the desert, there was always water involved. If I didn't get in a pool daily or go to the lake, one, it was just too hot to do anything else. But it would feel really bummed out, right? It was like I'm missing out on something. And so what I would do is make sure that I woke up early before the heat was too bad. I would do my workouts. And then the whole rest of the day, I knew I had some time to just play. Because I had done the work, I had made the effort to just get up and go do the work so that I could relax and have a good time. Okay, so that's gonna be different for everybody, obviously depending on your age and if you're independent and can drive yourself or do some of these things on your own, if you're dependent on your parents. But thinking about as you transition into the summer, creating a plan for yourself, what's realistic for you to make sure that you're connecting to your training goals and that you are improving and getting better and using your time wisely to get better, but also planning in some downtime and some relaxation so that you actually are recovering, okay? And so when you're thinking about planning for the summer, there's a couple of things to consider. Is just ask yourself, hey, first off, what's the work I need to do? Define that first. What goals are you striving for? What's some of the basic work that you need to do? Whether it's skills work, conditioning work, that type of thing. But what does that look like? And then ask yourself, what are the ways that I currently motivate myself to do that and how effective are they? And if what you've done in the past isn't particularly helpful, maybe you can tap into some of these other sources. So a couple ways to make it easier for you just initially is three basic things. One, make it easier to start. So 10 minutes worth of something is better than nothing. And so even if you don't feel like doing a full big blown workout, a little bit of work is still better than nothing. Okay. Another thing, start small. Make that initial behavior that you have to do to get into the work simple, right? Make it small. If let's say you have a whole hour long conditioning workout that you're supposed to be doing and you're really just not feeling it, you're like, okay, what's the first 10 minutes of it? What are the first 10 minutes that I need to do? And hopefully by just starting, you'll get into it and you'll build that momentum and you won't need all that motivation to keep going. It will have already been created. Again, momentum is often more powerful than the emotions of feeling like you like doing it. All right, y'all. Again, if you're enjoying these episodes, please leave a review, subscribe. Anytime you're interacting with the podcast, you're helping the algorithms send this out to more people. So I appreciate you leaving a review or clicking subscribe. All right, let's dive into some conversation. So as always, the rules, there are no wrong answers. Make sure you take turns talking and listening. Try to minimize your distractions as best you can. And as always, you can pause after each individual question and talk about it. Or you can listen to all of the questions and just discuss whatever's relevant for you. All right. First question. When you train during the summer, what usually motivates you? Again, thinking about your past summers, what are the things that you've tapped into? Is it more reward-based? Is it avoiding shame or guilt? Is it tapping into pride? Reaching a goal? Becoming the kind of athlete you want to be? That identity? What do you currently tap into? And maybe you're honest, you're like, I haven't really been all that motivated. But if you're trying to flip that switch and be more motivated, again, knowing from what doesn't work is also pretty helpful. Okay, so what have you used in the past? Think about that. And if that works, use it again. If it doesn't work, again, we're going to try a new strategy. All right, question two. What are your biggest goals for this upcoming season? And however you define that, maybe it's your travel ball season over the summer, maybe it's going into the fall, whatever makes sense to you. But what are your goals for your sport over the next half year, 6 months-ish, okay? And then what I want you to think about is how does your summer training help you reach that? So diving into that, valuing the outcome, right? You have to understand what you're actually striving for if you want to have any kind of motivation to do the work. Okay. And you got to connect to that bigger purpose. So think about that. What's something that you're actually working towards that would be worth the grind of putting in whatever work you have to do to train for your sport? Okay. Question three, what kind of athlete do you want to be known as by your teammates and your coaches? And how can you tap into that identity to help you do the work over the summer to be that elite athlete? Okay, and this one for you as a family, I want you to consider this, because I know for me, with my parents when I was growing up, we went through different phases, but there were definitely times where I was getting nagged quite a bit about, are you doing the work? What are you doing? Sometimes parents meaning to be helpful just create a lack of motivation, or they try to utilize, help you tap into sources of motivation that aren't always helpful. So long story short, I want parents and athletes to be on the same page of how they're going to motivate themselves this summer. And so what I'd like you to talk about as a family is how can we make sure that over the summer, you are in fact putting in work towards your sport, but you're also having time for family, for fun, for recovery, okay? And what does that balance look like? Talk about that amongst yourselves. What are the decisions that you can make at the beginning of summer, setting some left and right limits so that work is getting done and your kid is getting to be a kid and have some fun unrelated to structured time? All right, remember that motivation comes and goes. Every athlete experiences that. But the athletes who keep growing aren't the ones who always feel motivated. They're the ones who connect their daily actions to something bigger than their feelings. A goal, a purpose, an identity. And over time, that's what helps them become the athlete that they want to be. Remember to keep those conversations rolling, and let's make those car rides count. Thank you again for joining me on Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. If you found this episode helpful, again, please share it with somebody. Hopefully they can grab a few tips, just like you did by listening to the episode. All right. If you are looking for more weekly tips, mindset shifts, and conversation starters to help your athletes stay confident, calm, and clutch, please consider joining my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, either topics or content that you'd like to hear from me, help for me to discuss, you can reach out to me. There's a link in the show notes. You can message me directly, or you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at VAlston Coaching. As always, I hope you have an amazing week. We'll see you next time.